Proverbs chapter 17, I'm looking at the first three verses of the text. The Bible says, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. I'm preaching this morning from verse 3 about the fining pot, but before I get there, there are two other verses there we want to look at, some things that he's saying is better. He said in verse number 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. There is something better here, and you know, a dry morsel is bad. It's not good. I don't know any of you, I'm sure this never happened to your wife, that she never made a roast that was dry. And you could hardly choke it down. Have you ever had food that you couldn't hardly choke down? It was so dry. Maybe, you know, you bought that good steak and, I mean, you paid good money for it, but it was eating, it's like eating shoe leather. That's because it's dry. There needs to be some moisture there. Things that are dry are not appeasing or appetizing. He talks about a dry morsel. And I think he's talking about, you know, a dry piece of bread or something like that. That's not what we're interested in. We're not interested in the dry thing. When we think of dryness, we think of barrenness. If the land is dry, if there's no water, things don't grow. Dry places are not usually good places, as a matter of fact. In Luke chapter 11, verse 24, the Bible talks about where devils walk, and it says devils walk through dry places. That's what Jesus said. You know what I don't like? I don't like dry church services. There's something I don't like about dead, dry religion that's just cold. There ought to be some juice in it, amen. It ought not be like cracker crumbs, that is dryness to the mouth and dryness to the heart. You know, if you got dry skin, I mean, it can become a big problem. It can crack and break. We don't need to have lives like that for the Lord. I don't want a dry life. I don't want a dry heart. I don't want a dry church. But you know, God says this, that dry morsel is better than some things. You know, there's some things that God even looks at that's worse than the dry morsel. He says in verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. He said you can go on over to the house that's full of sacrifices, full of feasting, full of fellowship, full of giving, and all these sacrifices and all that. But if there is strife there, if there is contention there, it would be better if it was just dry than have all this activity with strife under the surface. God doesn't like strife. He doesn't like contention. He says the dryness is better than the strife. Because why? Because God doesn't want our hearts filled with strife. Look at the verse. Better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith. God wants quietness in our hearts. You know, when the Holy Ghost comes, the Bible says he brings love and joy and peace. There's a quietness in your heart when the Lord comes. And I would ask you this morning, do you have quietness on the inside? Boy, you look at our country is so messed up. It's been messed up for a long time. But the strife that's in our country, I mean, polar opposites, you know, 50-50. I mean, has it been that way since 1861? I mean, the strife, the hatred. And if it's not spoken, it's down in the heart. Now look, I can take strife in a nation. I can take a revolution a whole lot better than I can take strife in my heart. You understand? Is there quietness in your heart? God doesn't want strife in the church. He doesn't want strife in your home. You know what God says? God says it would be better if you had no sacrifices at all. It would be better if your house had no fellowship and nothing if it was a quiet place. A quiet place. It'd be better if it was just dry and quiet than it was all this activity and contention and strife in the house. I wonder, is there strife in your heart? Is there contention in your heart with God or against others? Has the Lord come inside and given you something that's better than the strife and better than the contention? Is there a quiet resting place in your heart with God that you know that all things are well? It can be that way. The Holy Ghost can give you that. Things can't give you that. You can fill the house with sacrifices. You can fill the house with whatever you want to fill. But if you don't fill it with God, there's only strife there. There's hollowness there. And our lives and our hearts need to be filled with God. So that's where the peace comes from. Peace is not manufactured. Peace is not bought and sold. Quietness on the inside is something better that only God can give. He says there's something else better. Look at verse 2. He said, a wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren. I'm sure that Solomon did not know how much he was prophesying. Solomon's own son, Rehoboam, became a king that caused shame. He was a son that caused shame not only to his father, but to God and to the kingdom of Israel. And what actually happened was the servant of Solomon took the kingdom. You can go back and read that. We're not preaching on that. But Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, he should have had all of the rulership of Israel. The son of Solomon should have had all of the inheritance. But it didn't work out that way. You know why? Because there was shame in Solomon's boy's life. And God took what belonged to the son and he gave it to the servant. You know what God's teaching us there? That we are never to honor our family if it's shameful. He says the wise servant should have rule over the son if the son's causing shame. He says the wise servant, look at the last part of the verse, shall have part of the inheritance. In other words, the servant in the house doesn't get the inheritance. The children get the inheritance, right? You pass the inheritance on to the kids. But he said, I'll tell you what, it's better to have a wise and a faithful servant than a shameful son. I'll never forget, Brother Knox said many years ago, I've watched it play out through my ministry and through life. 9 times out of 10, when people have to choose between a family member and God, they always choose the family member. And God said, you know, God, look, he loves us as his children. But bless your heart, you know what he's not going to do? He's not going to give the inheritance to shameful children. Did you know that? Did you know, you said, preacher, you're saying that saved people don't go to heaven if they do wrong? I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you this, you'll miss out on inheritance. God's not going to give shameful people an inheritance. Jesus Christ is going to rule this world for 1,000 years. He's coming again. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And it won't be up to a vote, and it won't be up to a Supreme Court, and you can't rig it, and you can't stop it. Jesus is coming again. He's going to be the king of the world. And I'm glad my king, amen, is just and right and pure and holy, and he doesn't even have dementia. Hallelujah. Right. I got a real king. He's coming again. But you know when he comes again, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give inheritance to his children. You know what he's not going to do? He's not going to give that inheritance to a shameful son. Have you read Ephesians 5? Have you read Galatians 6? Galatians 5? It's Ephesians 5 and Galatians 5. It says the same thing. He talks about fornicators. He talks about people that live in an ungodly way. And if you live this way, you're not going to have any inheritance, even though you're my children. You know he did that with Israel. He came into his own. They were the children of God. They were the children of the kingdom. You know what he told them? He said, I'm going to take
I'm going to take the kingdom from you, and I'm going to give it to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. You're the children, but you don't get it because you're shameful. You've rejected me. God's not like us, you know. I've got three children. I hope they all do right. I hope they all live for God all the days of their life and love Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, if one of them breaks my heart and becomes shameful, you think Dad's going to give the same inheritance to all of them? You say, well, preacher, that's not fair. No, it's not fair to grow up in the family of God and live a shameful life. Now, I know that's strange to you. But God says this, I would rather have a faithful servant than a shameful son. I would rather have a wise servant. You know what I just want to be too? I tell you what, I know I'm a child of God, I'm a son of God, but I'm glad one day I saw myself just like that prodigal that came back and said, I tell you what, Lord, make me as one of your hired servants. I just want to serve the Lord. I just want to be a faithful, obedient servant of God that is faithful to my master and pleases God. I don't want to bring shame to the Lord. And the Bible says when Jesus comes again, there are going to be a lot of people when they meet him, they're going to be ashamed because they conducted their life in such a way of shame that God cannot reward them in his kingdom. Not talking about heaven, talking about the reward that he'll give them. Give them. The Lord says, I just wish I had a wise servant over a shameful son. Would you ask yourself, if you're saved this morning, would you ask yourself, what kind of child of God am I? Am I a son that causeth shame? Or do I bring delight to the Father? I see a third thing that's better. There's something better than strife. There's something better than shame. He says in verse number 3, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. He talks about silver and gold. Do you know there's something better than silver or gold? You know what's better than silver or gold? Listen to me. Refined silver and refined gold. You know, all silver and all gold is not the same. As a matter of fact, if you owned a gold mine or a silver mine and you went and got that out of the ground, there's always earth and impurities and things attached to the silver and the gold. And when they take it out of the ground, now you know you've seen how, you know, they pan for the gold and all that. But even the little flakes they get, that's not all gold. And it's all not the same. As a matter of fact, I did some research. How many of you people that buy jewelry? When you buy jewelry, I'm sure you don't want something fake if you think it's real. There's so much that's fake. People's body parts are fake. Their identity's fake. Everything, society's fake. But you get there's some stuff in that pan, there's some stuff in that gold. You have got to refine it or you don't have a good product. Do you know that sterling silver, how many of you heard of sterling silver? I mean, sterling silver is, I mean, that's good stuff, right? Do you know sterling silver is only 92% pure silver? It's not all the way there. It still has some impurities in it. How many, I've got a ring on right here. This is my wedding ring. It says right on the inside, I can't read it without my glasses, but it says 14 karat gold. I wish I hadn't studied so much. 14 karat gold. I mean, doesn't that look, that looks like real pure gold, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. 14 karat gold. Do you know that's only 58% gold? I mean, I feel like I got cheated. I mean, I paid a lot of money for that ring a lot of years ago. 14 karat gold. I want 14 karat gold earrings. It's just half real. I bet they didn't tell you that at the store. They didn't tell me that at the store. Do you know to get pure gold, it's got to be 24 karat gold?
And then it's just 99.9%. But, I mean, you got to, when they make gold bars and silver bars, that's where you get that real, the purest part of gold. But what they've had to do, they've had to take all the impurities out, because you'll never find gold altogether in its pure state just laying there. Nobody ever goes into a mine and finds a big chunk of gold that's 100% pure gold. There's other metals, there's other oils, ores, there's other impurities, there's earth, there's all types of stuff in there. And there's something better than finding that gold in the ground, and that's having something that is pure gold. Do you know why when they make jewelry, they usually don't use pure silver or pure gold? You know why they don't? That's right, Brother Jimmy. It's too soft. It's too soft. And so they add stuff to it to make it hard enough to shape whatever they're going to do. Now look at our verse. Look at our verse there, verse 3. He says, the fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. In other words, he's going to liken silver and gold unto your heart. And what he has to do, he has to take the impurities out of our hearts and our life to make us pure. Just like you would turn up the fire and get the impurity out of the silver and out of the gold, and you put it in the pot and turn the heat up because you want to extract everything that makes it impure, because you want the pure thing. But the reason that most people don't want the pure thing is because it's so soft. Now compare that to our hearts. Listen here. I got on this thing and I still ain't chewed it all out. But you know what happens in our hearts when we put other junk in our hearts, when there's impurity in our heart, when the world is in our heart, when things are in our hearts that aren't there, when we do not have a pure heart, we've got all these other things there and our heart is harder. Because the more purified our heart gets, the softer the heart.
Look at Job 23. God's trying to try our hearts. He's trying to purify our heart and life, because he didn't want you to be fake. He doesn't want you to be fake. He wants you to have a true heart. He wants you to have a real heart, a pure heart with him. And he's the only one that can do that. He did that in Job's life. He refined Job's heart and life. Look at Job 23. In Job 23, he says in verse number 8, you know all the terrible life and the trouble Job's faced. And Job 23, verse 8, the Bible says, behold, I go forward. Job's talking. I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Have you ever come to a place in your life you couldn't find God? And the trouble's there, and you look in front, and you look behind, you look the other way, and you can't find him. What's going on, Job's saying, verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. Look at it. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job says, I understand what God's doing to me. He's turning the heat up in my life to purify me, like the fining pot does for the silver and the goldsmith does for the gold. And as he tries my heart, look at verse 16, for God maketh my heart what? Soft. And the Almighty troubleth me. You know what he's saying? God's turning up the trouble in my life. He's turning up the heat in my life, because he's trying to bring forth a pure product in my heart. And the more the impurities get out, and the more the junk gets out, the purer my heart will be before him, and the softer it will be, just like the pure gold and the pure silver. It'll be something maybe man can't use it for a trinket, but God can use it for his glory. Maybe it won't be impressive to man, but it'll be impressive to God. I want to tell you this morning that something better than silver is gold, is refined silver and purified gold. And my question is, are you allowing God to purify your heart? He trieth the hearts.
The Lord trieth the heart. You know, before God used any of that silver and gold in the temple, we read about it in 1 Chronicles 28 and 29. You can read that on your own time. And he talks about they brought in the silver and they brought in the gold. And God says it's got to be pure. You have got to put it through the fire. You've got to purify it, because when you make my furniture and when you make my vessels and when you adorn my temple, I want my temple to be adorned in pure gold and pure silver. I don't want any fakeness there. And what God's trying to do in your heart and God's trying to do in my heart is to try our hearts and purify our hearts so that we can be usable and suitable in His temple and for His glory. And to do that, He's got to get out the impurity. And to get out the impurity, you have to have a fining pot. And you put that metal in there and you have to turn on the fire and turn up the heat. Everybody wants to walk on that street of pure gold, but not everybody wants God to purify their hearts. And God turns up the fire in our life. You know why? You say, preacher, why is God turning up the fire in my life? Because I don't see anything wrong. You know, if you put that gold in a fining pot, you can't see the impurities. You can't see it. The only thing that exposes the impurities in the silver and the gold is the fire. That's the only thing that shows it. And until that silver starts melting and until that gold starts melting, you can't even see the impurities there. You know what the Bible says about your heart? Remember, it's about your heart. The Lord trieth the hearts. You know what? You can't see what's wrong with your heart. You can't see the impurities in your heart and your life. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things, Jeremiah says, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You and I, we can't even see the impurity of our heart. But the fires show where they are. The fires, the troubles, the circumstances of life reveal those impurities. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning, God is more concerned about purifying your heart than He is the trouble that's in your life. He will take trouble and more trouble and more fire if He gets the impurities out of your heart. He doesn't want it to be fake. He wants it to be real. He said in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 10, a great verse about that. He said, I'll read it to you. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. How does God refine us? He turns up the affliction. You know what David said in Psalm 119? He says, it's good for me that I have been afflicted, because now I'm going to learn what you want me to learn. I wonder, have you been in the fining pot? Will you let God put you in the fining pot? See, preacher, what's this sickness about? And what's this sorrow about? And what's this rejection about? And what's this persecution about? And what's this loneliness I have about? And what are these pains of life about? What are these failures? What is it, preacher? It's you in the fining pot of God, trying your heart. David says to God, search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me. And see if there be some wicked way in me. And he's asking to be led in the way everlasting. He's asking God to purify him. I wonder, you know what's wrong with us? We don't think there's anything wrong with us. I guarantee you, right here on the property, we got people that need to be saved, and they can't see it. I guarantee you, right now, we have people on the property that aren't right with God, but they can't see it. And what God many times tries to do, He turns up things in our lives to try our hearts, because He wants to get all the impurity out. The trouble exercises us. It purges away the dross of sin and the corruption that is there. Go to Ezekiel. Would you turn to Ezekiel chapter 22? The fining pot. Ezekiel chapter, don't you like pure gold? I tell you what, I feel a little cheated this morning with this. But you know, what if this was 10 karat? It'd be worse than that. Or what if it just looked like it and it was totally fake? There was no gold in it. I've been on the mission field and you know, they try to sell you the jewelry. It's amazing how much cheaper gold is. No, it's not amazing. It's not amazing at all. Oh, here's a Rolex. See the diamonds? Yeah, I see the diamonds. You know, if you had a fake, you know, ladies, when your husband proposed you and when he married you and put that ring on your finger, if you found out later it was a fake, how would you feel? What if he convinced you that was a diamond and you went and got it appraised and they say, you know, that's worth about 40 cents? How would you feel about that? Would you feel cheated? Come on now, would you feel slighted? Would you be mad? You've been going around all this time saying, look at my diamond, and it ain't real. You wouldn't be happy about that. If you thought you had a gold ring and it wasn't gold, you'd be so disappointed. Look, why wouldn't God be disappointed in us? Why wouldn't we just be disappointed in ourselves? If what we have is not real, if what's in our heart is fake. And God says, I put you in a fining pot and I turn up the heat because I want you to be real. I don't want to be disappointed. I don't want you to be disappointed. And if it's fake, it doesn't work out. He said in Ezekiel chapter 22, Ezekiel 22, watch this, verse 22. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. You say, well, why in the world is he melting people like that? Why would he turn up the fire on their life? Look at, you're in Ezekiel, just keep going. Go to Zechariah. We'll get some minor prophets in this morning. Zechariah chapter 13. You know, some Christians go to church all their life. They've never even turned to Zechariah. I don't know why I said that. I just felt like saying that. All the Bible's good. In Zechariah, the Bible says in chapter 13, watch this in verse 8. Why would he turn up the fire in my life? He wants something real, not fake. Zechariah 13, verse 8, the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Wouldn't it be great if our prayers were real? If our heart for God was real? And so many times God turns up the fire in our life to bring forth the real heart of a Christian. Preacher, what's all the trouble for? He's just trying to get that stuff out you can't see. Zechariah, just look at the next minor prophet, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. God uses refined and purified things. He refines it with the fire. And then he himself, look what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2, talks about the coming of our Lord. Malachi 3, verse 2, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God says there's coming a day where the Lord's going to come. Jesus is going to come, and he's going to sit down as a refiner. And when he comes again, the fire of his coming will burn in hearts and expose everything that's fake. That's why I keep saying, even so come Lord Jesus. All the fake stuff's going to be burned out. All the impure stuff is going to be burned up. And all that will be left will be something that's pure for God's use. And when he comes again to this world, that's exactly what he's going to do. He's going to sit as a refiner of silver. He's going to sit down in this world, and no fake stuff's going to be brought to him. He'll try it. Give you two more scriptures and we'll be finished for the morning. Would you get 1 Peter chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3? You said, preacher, I'm so glad that Jesus is going to do that with the world. But you see, he's not just going to do that with the world. He's going to do that with you if you know him. He is the refiner. I tell you what, I just got to be honest with you, brethren. I would rather have nothing to do with religion if it's fake. I would rather have nothing to do with prayer if it's fake. And I don't want my heart to be fake. So what does God do in my life? He tries to get out all the fake stuff. Just to be real with him. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, watch it, Christian. He says in 1 Peter 1 verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. How can you greatly rejoice if you've got manifold temptations? Because you've got something more real than the temptation in your heart. You got a real relationship with God. Oh, what do our children need? They need real Christian fathers and real Christian mothers that have something real in their heart. And you can always see that because it manifests itself through rejoicing or complaining. He says, these people, they greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Look at verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He says, what's really on trial? Your heart's on trial. The Lord trieth the hearts. But what's in your heart's tried? Is there something impure there? Is there real faith in there? It's the trial of my faith. Do I really trust God? Do I really believe God? And through the trials, that faith becomes purer and purer. And he says, when the Lord comes, when the Lord appears, he'll get glory and praise and honor if that refining has taken place. One more verse, 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 13. When you meet Jesus Christ, if you're saved, this verse is true about you. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. When I see Jesus Christ and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he as that refiner that sits as the refiner of silver and gold, he'll turn up the heat at the judgment seat of Christ, and all that will remain will be what was purely done for him, what was honestly done, what was done for him in the right motive, and the reality of my heart will be manifest. And if I've been a fake Christian when I stand before him, if my deeds were fake, if my prayers were fake, if my teaching and preaching was fake, if my service was fake, if I just went through the Christian life being a fake, the judgment seat of Christ, that fire will try it, and there'll be nothing left. But if it was real, what's going to be left is pure. And it'll be for the glory and honor and praise of Jesus. Can I close this morning and ask you, are you a fake? God Almighty, the Lord trieth our hearts. He knows if you're saved, and he knows if you're just a fake.
If you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Savior, why don't you do the first honest thing in your life and get up from your seat and come down and say, I'm not saved, I'm a sinner. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me and save me. And this morning, if you're saved, are there impurities in your heart that trouble is exposing? And are there things down in there that aren't, they're just not that real? Let the refiner try your heart and take out the impurities. Because, Christian, you don't have to wait till the judgment seat of Christ for the Lord to get the impurity out of your heart. You can say, search me, God. Know my heart. Try me. See those wicked ways in me. And Lord, take out those pieces and take out those parts, and may there be something pure left for your praise and for your honor and glory. Are you in the fining pot this morning?